Good morning again.
Good morning.
If I had written on the back of my registration card this morning, what I would have written was how grateful I am to be in a congregation that supports the work of the pastor in the community. So I was at the North Austin Muslim Community Center with the usual suspects, the usual pastors who were out there, and they were so grateful to be supported because they've been vandalized and attacked, and I can't imagine what that's like to be in your worship space and feel like it's been defiled in that way. And I was wondering why other pastors were not there. And I know why. Because somebody in the congregation, in their congregations, would complain and say, I saw the pastor on the news last night saying this or that. And it would be a complaint. In this congregation, if you say, I saw the pastor on the news the other night, you would say, yes, he's just doing his job, right? Amen. Witnessing. So I appreciate you so much. That is our job, to be witnesses in the community. And I appreciate Tanya's references to that, about how important that work is. And it's ongoing. La gracia de Dios sea con ustedes. When we have had weeks like the one that we've just had, it's important to come in and just breathe. I have some spiritual writers that I turn to for a little bit of sanity. One of them is Anne Lamott, who's just been writing serious but funny stuff for years. And she wrote Thanksgiving essays for a while, and I saved some of her essays. And in one of them she says, we appreciate Thanksgiving for the pause, the quiet thanks for love and for blessings before the shoveling begins. For a minute, our stations are tuned into a broader, richer radius. We're acknowledging that this food didn't just magically appear. Someone grew it, ground it, bought it, baked it. Wow. Give thanks. And what struck me this time were the words, our stations are tuned to a broader, richer radius. This is what I'm hoping and praying happens when we're here. That when we come to worship at University Church, we don't have to leave our week at the door, but that we can bring every part of us into this space and know that we are fully loved and embraced. And that because we were here together, because we sang and prayed and laughed and maybe even cried together, that we're going to leave in some way, we're going to be different, changed, transformed. Because we were able to tune into a broader, richer radius. I love that phrase. So we're talking about gratitude and being grateful, and I am not going to be trite this morning and say that someday or that somehow we need to all learn how to be thankful for everything that's ever happened to us. There are gifted spiritual writers that I read from time to time, like Henri Nouwen, who invite us to be grateful for all of our lives, the good as well as the bad. And I'll confess to you that I am not there yet. Diana Butler Bass is our muse for this series. The title of her book is Grateful, and she writes this, gratitude never tells us to give thanks for anything that is evil or unjust, never for violence, lying, oppression, or suffering. Do not be grateful for these things. Gratitude is something different. It's deeper, and it's kind of elusive. I mean, I'll be honest. I guess it's the day to confess today. Gratitude does not come naturally to me. Complaint does. Critique does, right? But not gratitude. I know that we're supposed to be grateful. I mean, my parents drilled that into our heads. They made us write thank you notes. Back when you remember when you write thank you notes and you would write a thank you note to somebody and then you get a thank you note and you write the thank you note for the thank you note that you got and it just goes on and on. I mean, I remember sitting at our Thanksgiving meal. We have it earlier in October in Canada. And one year, my mother got it in her head that we needed to be thankful at the Thanksgiving meal. And so we had to wait with all the food sitting there on the table until everyone had gone around and said what they were thankful for. This was not a spiritual exercise for me, right? At the age of 13 or 14. This is like a hostage situation. My mother, oh my goodness. Sometimes I think my dogs are more skilled at gratitude than I am. I believe, and sometimes we even say it in church, that God created everything and called it good. That's what it says in the good book in Genesis, right? I believe that in theory, but my dogs, they are committed to that truth in practice. Dead fish carcass on the beach to roll around in, rejoice, right? I mean, stinky, unidentifiable gunk on the road. No, no, Toasty, don't go over there. Give thanks and praise. I mean, running around in the rain in the backyard and yapping my head off. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. I mean, why is practicing gratitude so easy for them and so hard for us humans, so hard? Well, part of the problem is that we live and breathe in a culture that is not really all about gratitude, right? It's a culture that's dissatisfied with itself. And it kind of pushes that dissatisfaction on us. And sometimes it's subtle and sometimes it's not so subtle. You know that dissatisfaction is absolutely central to our consumer culture. Consumerism is only going to work if you are perpetually dissatisfied with your stuff, right? Because then what? Then you're going to go out. How many of you have sworn over the last week that you have got to get a new cell phone, right? Because the one that you have is, I'm so unhappy with this, right? So you want to replace it or you want something new or different. Everything becomes disposable, practically everything. I mean, it's not just razor blades, pens, and cameras. It's even relationships. And so the danger of this message is that we absorb it and we're not even aware of it. And we absorb it and it becomes deeper and deeper a part of us. And we hear the message that we don't have enough and we don't have the right stuff, but maybe that message becomes, I am not enough. I'm not enough. And then maybe we hear, I'm not good enough. I'm powerless. I can't really do anything. It won't make any difference even if I try. And so if you're dissatisfied with the world or you're dissatisfied with your life, how do you embrace the world? How do you care for the world? How do you give thanks and praise God for everything that's good if deep down inside you somewhere, this feeling that you can't get rid of just keeps welling up that you're not good enough and life is not good enough and maybe you aren't enough. How do you get there? Well, I don't think that we will get there by joining in what Diana Butler Bass calls our culture of cheap, duty-based gratitude. For all the work that my parents did to make me more thankful, it probably had the exact opposite effect because gratitude just became an obligation. I didn't learn that gratitude was something much deeper, that gratitude needed to have a heart. Gratitude was just a reflection of my privilege. I learned to give thanks for what? For material blessings. Gratitude is maybe like paying it forward. That never entered my consciousness. I was in the Yukon years and years ago on a summer internship. And by the way, since I just critiqued my parents a moment ago, let me give a word of thanks that they let their 20-year-old son head off on his own on a four-day drive from Toronto to the Yukon. I mean, you've seen Canada on the map, right? It's a long way from Toronto to the Yukon. And I was on my own, and this was before cell phones. I had maybe no credit cards or anything. I had like $20 in my pocket. I don't know how I did it. But anyway, yay to my parents for letting me do that. So I was up in the Yukon for about 2.5 months, and the car that I had was not quite up to the task of these gravel northern roads, right? Just some rough roads. And so I'd spent all week at a youth camp, and it was evening, although it was evening in the summertime, so it wasn't dark. It was probably 9 o'clock at night and bright as day. And the car died. I mean, just like everything on the car died. I had already lost like all of the muffler parts on the car previous to that on another trek with that car. And so I was not having a good time with this car. And so here I am out in the middle of nowhere. And by nowhere, I mean, this is like nowhere. This is like no people, right? Just like grizzly bears and wolves and moose. And I'm outside the car just standing there thinking, what in the world am I going to do? I mean, I'm like an hour's drive from Whitehorse. And so I think, I'll wait for somebody to come by. Well, an hour, nobody comes by. There is no traffic out here. I didn't have a phone, and so I thought, okay, I'm just going to start walking back to the city, and I'll leave my car. And just then, a pickup truck appears on the horizon. And magically, the pickup truck stopped, and he offered me a lift back in to Whitehorse. And I couldn't believe it. And I got in the car, and I said, why did you stop? And he said, this is what we do up north, right? I mean, we take care of each other, because I might be the only truck on the road between now and morning. And I might be that guy out on the road. Now, in that moment, of course, I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude for this person that I don't know, but who is now my very best friend in the world. But I'm also dimly aware of something else, that there is this wider circle of community, this wider circle of connection that was a gift to me. And it wasn't really just for me, it was for everyone. And I became aware in that moment, I guess, that everything was a gift. Everything. You know that grace and gratitude come from the same Latin word. It's gratia. And so when we talk about grace in the church, we mean that God just freely tosses around all of these gifts of love and joy and hope and sustenance, and God has no regard for who receives these gifts. And God has no expectation of a return on the gift, not even a thank you note. They just pour out. Grace creates a different system for giving thanks. There is a closed system that we have in our culture. These social obligations of gratitude, where those who receive are dependent on benefactors who give, and they are grateful, but they never have enough, and so they continue, and on this cycle of social obligation goes, right? No one is really grateful for that, I don't think. No one gets in the morning and says, I am so grateful for this cycle of indebtedness that I'm in today. It's a demeaning system. And it's designed to keep us perpetually unhappy and dissatisfied. But grace, oh my goodness, if we can get into that system, grace busts everything wide open. Because in the system of grace, gifts are not commodities that someone owns. Gifts are the way that the universe works. Everything we have has been gifted to everyone. And it's maybe not just what we have, but what we are, right? I mean, that is the gift, as several of you said in the back of your cards, life itself. And in that way, all of us are on the same level. We're all beneficiaries. We all receive these gifts, and we all pass them on. Holocaust survivor and novelist Elie Wiesel with all that he had been through, put it so well, "For me, every hour is grace. Every hour is grace." Just that shift in awareness that all is gift, that can make all the difference in the world. I mean, I think it can open us up. It can be like a rebirth where we begin to look at the world with new eyes and maybe even a fresh understanding of everything that's in front of us. But I do want to say this. Gratitude never whitewashes all that we have been through. I've learned a whole lot about gratitude from reading the Psalms, especially the laments, where the author is often talking about some unnamed forces that are working, that are pressing against her, and then concludes with these words, "Nevertheless, I will trust God and give thanks and praise." It's throughout the Psalms. You can find it in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, in everything, give thanks. Jolene reminded me the other day that it's not give thanks for everything, right? But in and through everything that's happening, we give thanks. Did you see? You see the difference, right? There's a difference. I mean, giving thanks in that sense is really an act of resistance. I mean, it's a sense that in the depths of our being, in the midst of whatever is drawing us down, in spite of whatever we're up against, we embrace this surprising gift of who we are, that we are, right now, in this moment, alive. So Diana Butler Bass began writing her book in 2016. She set the project aside because of the toxicity of the presidential campaign. She just couldn't find her way to writing. And she thought, well, I'll just save it for after November because perhaps a calmer mood will prevail after the election. And so, like many of you, she found that calm moment never really arrived for her. And she was also struggling with some health issues. She met up with a friend one day who asked her, "What are you working on?" "A book about gratitude," she ventured. The friend stared at Bass, eyes wide open in disbelief. "You have got to be kidding. A book about gratitude?" Bass said, "No, I'm not kidding. I'm writing a book about gratitude." And the friend said, "I am not grateful right now. I know that you are not grateful, so good luck with that book." And so every day, Bass felt this daunting task of writing about gratitude when she felt like there was little to give thanks for. But she persisted. She persisted. She realized that she had to begin to change her field of vision. She began to say a prayer from the Buddha. Is it okay for me to say a prayer from the Buddha in the pulpit here? I think it's okay, right? Yeah. Tanya, you okay with that? All right. So here's the prayer. "Let us rise and be thankful. For if we didn't learn a lot today, at least we learned a little. And if we didn't learn a little, at least we didn't get sick. And if we got sick, at least we didn't die. So let us all be thankful." That's the prayer. She begins most of her days with that prayer, and it helps. My friends, gratitude really is defiance. It's kindness in the face of anger. It's hope in the face of fear. Gratitude does not give in to evil. Gratitude resists evil. And gratitude opens us to a new story that every single life is full of grace. May it ever be so. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.